What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome back. All the Smoke, day 2 in NYC. We had a good first show.
Killed it.
Now we're blessed to have this man right here for our second show. Man, the founder, the originator of the Wu-Tang and several other things. But man, welcome to the show, RZA, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks for inviting me.
So we were just chopping it up while you was getting freshened up with the cut. So you're working on episode, what, 4 or 5 of season 3?
Yeah,
we all anticipating the drop.
Well, thank you, thank you. Episode 5, we are in production of that right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be crazy this season, you know what I mean? We're going to really go into the success of Wu.
Wow.
You know, we've seen the struggle.
The grind, yeah.
We've seen all the paperwork get engaged, you know what I mean? And now we're going to see how that unfold. What happens when you sign a 5-year contract, you got to keep up to your joint, you know what I mean?
We seen the relationships, men too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We could be at that point now, everybody getting along.
Yeah, we actually, you know, a lot of people don't know that when Wu-Tang do albums, we would come together and live in the same location.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? So we started out here. We did it in L.A. At one point, we was just all living in Oakwood apartments. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We turned the Oakwood into a project.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
But when we do that, it just keeps that energy close.
Right.
So this season, you'll see that. I think it's kind of like a basketball camp when you think about it in reality, that everybody got to be together and go to the studio and come back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to show that this season.
So what is it like? I mean, you're producing, you created, you've written for, but what is it like going down memory lane back to the start? Because we've been talking about a lot so often. We don't appreciate what we've been through, the ups, the downs, the celebrations, the struggles. So now going back and kind of giving the world another look at, you know, we all saw the outside, now we're seeing the inside. But what has it been like for you personally reliving that?
Wow, that's a good one, y'all. It's both, right? It's beautiful and it's ugly, right? The beautiful things, you know, you kind of feel accoladed, like, wow, I did that, we did that. But the ugliness is like, yo, we definitely came from a struggle, a lot of, you know, violence, a lot of loss on the way, you know? So some of those things definitely, hit you in the heart. But the beauty is if you live through a story or live through a part of life and you're blessed to share that with somebody else, hopefully somebody else will be inspired and they'll see that and they could jump over that landmine because you're like, yo, it's a landmine right there.
Look out. Real quick before we change directions, do you have a date for the drop of season 3 yet?
I think it's going to be more like January.
January of 23.
Yeah, 23. Yeah, okay. We're going to let y'all wait a little bit on that.
Yeah, I'm waiting on it. Anything else you have going on the television side?
I just stay creative, you know what I mean? You might catch me on a movie. You might catch me on the Minions coming out. That's kind of funny, right? Because my son's, when Minions first came out, my son was young, you know what I mean? And I think it started with Despicable Me first, right? Then, so it's crazy that this year, I'm one of the voices up in the joint, you know what I mean, talking and whatever. But that's the blessing of our art. We just continue to keep building and you'll find yourself in unique places, yeah.
How you like doing voiceovers?
I mean, voiceovers is like, come on from the studio. Yeah. That's like spitting darts, you know what I mean? So voiceovers is like easy work for me, you know what I mean? Like, I do it for free, you know what I mean? But they pay
for it, yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, you've been blessed to just stay busy since, like we see on the show, since the beginning. But even though you weren't always out and about and always forward facing, you've always been consistently, whether it be creating, producing, acting, voiceovers. Do you ever just think about like I said, understanding and kind of giving yourself like, damn, I did a lot of great shit during this time, because you have, and it's something, we all look up to you and just love to see you. Similar to Snoop, to be able to stay in the game so long and be relevant and continue to press, give positivity and show people, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, when you kind of recognizing yourself that you are unique, every person is unique.
Right. Knowing your worth.
You know what I mean? And then you realize as an artist or as a talent that you could take that talent and that mastery and apply it to other things.
Right.
It's your duty to do that. You know, I remember when I first started, when I wanted to be a composer, I was like, there's not a lot of black composers, first of all, but there definitely ain't no hip-hop composers. Right. And I got a lot of kids that's buying drum machines and trying to figure out how they're going to eat. And they can't all fit in the bucket we got already. So I strive to leave footprints like, you could go left and find some oil. You could go right and find some oil. You don't have to keep digging in the same spot. So I felt like that was one of my callings in life, was to always continue to show inspiration and to show that we got the power to break stereotype. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like, you can't do that, because you're from the hood. You can't do that because you don't got a master's degree. Right. You can't do that because you're black, or you can't do that because you hip hop. It's like, nah, son, I'm going to crush all of those stereotypes.
Right.
And I'm going to do the best on the talent that I've acquired.
Yeah, you got to see it to believe it.
Is it true that you're working on a biopic about ODB?
Well, the biopic, I've been working on that for a minute. Having some ping pongs on that because you got other people that's in his life as well trying to do the same thing. So, what I mean? It's like, may the best man win.
Yeah, man. Hopefully that's worked out. We need that.
We got a chance to see it from watching the show, but RZA Presents, Bobby Digital. Mm. How did that, talk about that and the experience behind that?
Well,
it dropped.
As a character, Bobby Digital is one of my other artistic expressions. I got a graphic novel coming out, which I'm proud of. We took and kind of mixed Japanese anime with hip hop culture, Z Comics, and I put a soundtrack to it. Music is my second nature.
Yeah.
That'll be out like June 22nd, and something very unique, and something that put on your shelf, yo. Put that on your shelf.
Looking forward to that.
All right.
Brownsville, New York, in the 70s, 80s. What was that like?
Come on, man, Brownsville. Listen, Mike Tyson come from Brownsville. Hold on, Riddick Bowe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Mark Breland. All right, let me... Mm-hmm. Fighters.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Fighters.
Yeah. Listen, you got to fight. That was, on the reality, is the toughest streets I ever walked in my life. You know what I mean? And And to get out of that is a blessing. You know what I mean? You're talking about projects after projects after projects, one block away. Tilden, Langston Hughes, Marcus Garvey, Van Dyke. You know what I mean? Stoneman Avenue, back before it was Mother Gatson. And it's like, you could just be cool in this building and get done in that building.
Right next door.
But it was, let me say one thing about it, if I could elaborate a little bit. The crazy thing I learned years later, right, that before it was a black populated project, the Jews all populated there. And I learned that from my buddy Eli Roth, because his father was like, I'm from Brownsville. I was like, you from Brownsville?
Right.
He said, yeah. But they got out, right? And they moved on to the suburbs and bought homes. I think one of the issues is the system, when blacks got in, the system kept us there. And then also we became complacent, as if this is the place to be. Projects is for you to start.
Right.
It's low income, you don't got enough money, we put you here, but you gotta build up out of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It starts getting sad when it's like, yo, your grandmother is there because she's been there since her mother was there. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, there's a book called The Color of Law that I read that I think is very important to read, whereas the system has kept us there systematically, but then it's also the psychological complacency that we've
got comfortable with. Yep.
And yeah, but I'm from Brownsville, never ran, never will, yo.
You was introduced to music at 9. What was going on in your life at that time?
I mean, hip hop was my first musical love, you know what I mean? Then the Jizza, my older cousin, took me to a block party right in New York, you know, Bronx, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Boogie Down.
Yeah, Bronx, the birthplace of hip hop. And I heard it. I heard Dip, Dip, Dive, So Socialize, clean out your ears and you open your eyes. You know what I did? I cleaned out my ears and I opened my eyes, yo. And I lived that. And I never forget hearing hip hop and falling in love with it and knowing that that was my calling.
Who did you idolize at that time?
Man, Cold Crush Brothers. We had Dr. Rock and the Force MCs from Staten Island. We had Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel and the Furious Five. Mm-hmm. It's like, it wasn't no records, it was tapes, yo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't go to the store and like, let me get that record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like, you had to go have a dub tape of it. Fantastic Five or the Fantastic Freaks. Poison Clan, man.
Poison Clan.
Fearless Four.
Yeah, Poison Clan.
Yeah, anyway, those were some of the pioneers. You know, saying Busy B, all of them. I had all those tapes.
70s was your favorite decade of music?
I mean, 70s is definitely my youth growing up and music being kind of new and expressive. Like, you got to think about in the 70s, we went from the singles of 3-minute songs or 2-minute songs to 7-minute songs, you know what I mean? You know, look at Pink Floyd giving you albums that was more thematic, or The Doors, or Marvin Gaye giving you What's Going On, where it's a whole thematic to the album. So the 70s opened up a whole world. But hip hop and music, to me, I'm still in love with it no matter what.
How did the time that you spent in Ohio with your mother shape you?
Look, Ohio, North Carolina, all these different places of our country all got their own speed.
Right.
And they each got something to offer to culture. I was blessed, you know, to travel, like to see these places. Most people in my hood, they stuck in a 4-block radius.
Right.
So just going down south and seeing cornfields and tobacco fields, and I used to pick tobacco, yo. You know what I mean? Since just doing that, or going down to Ohio and seeing that steel mill culture in the Midwest culture, all these things help spark me, you know? Like, they didn't have triangle pizza, yo. You know what I mean? They had the squares. They had the square slices at the Carlos or whatever, yo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Thanks. When, obviously, hip-hop is your first love, when did you feel like, okay, I want to make this my career?
I mean, even if it wasn't my career, it's what I do every day. Mm. It's like, you know, I definitely had when I heard Sugar Hill Gang on the radio, I knew that I could be on the radio. I knew it, you know what I mean? And when I, you know, eventually started hearing, you know, the pioneer greats before me, Rakim, KRS-One, Big Daddy Kane, and the content of their lyrics versus what my pen was doing and what my music was doing with Marley Marl, Lars Professor, Prince Paul, all this different energy was a spark in me, like, yo, I know I could do this too. I'm living it, you know what I mean? And then even when you think about when, you know, of course, Run DMC, but then when Dre and NWA and them bought it from that side, you know what I mean? It was like, yo, this is the country. Mm-hmm. This is real.
Right.
This ain't like just New York. And so, you know, I not only knew I was could do it as an artist, I realized I could do it as a businessman.
Right. That's the last thing. I mean, obviously, watching the series, like you were always the business side of it. I mean, obviously, before Wu hit, you had your solos, a little bit of solo stuff, had some smaller groups. But what in you kept you driving to bring everyone together? Because we saw you had a hell of a time getting so many different personalities and egos and beefs under one building to create what you turned into history.
You know, also, I was blessed to, like, you know, to be conscious of the Holy Quran, the Holy Bible, and stories that men lived before me. One of the best stories is Noah. Right? He's like, yo, in order for us to survive, we got to all get on the ark.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And far as my crew, Wu Brothers, you know, we was definitely at a point where street drugs, crime, and poverty was taking brothers away. You know
all
what I mean?
High.
Yeah, so it was like, yo, we gotta use what's naturally in us. You know, we said on the song Cream, every week we made 40 G's. Mm. You take 40 G's, divide that between a dozen people,
right. Yeah,
ain't really that much.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now you put Wu-Tang on a show, right? On a concert, you could get up to a half an M in one night.
Yeah, right.
All right? Right. So as it says in the Bible, for every positive thing you do, I can multiply you by 10.
Right.
And so understanding that multiplication, understanding that my vision was clear to me, you know, I just wanted to say that to all your viewers. It's always gonna be somebody in your family or amongst you that have got a clear vision. You know what I mean? Whether or even the coach of your team, you know what I mean, the conductor of the orchestra, somebody gotta have a clear vision, and everybody gotta bear witness and fall in line to that vision in order for it to manifest. And I was fortunate to have 9 brothers who are alpha. Right. No chumps in Wu.
Mm-hmm.
All right, alpha. Any one of them is dangerous as the other one. You know what I mean?
Right.
But at the end of the day, having knowledge of self and seeing that there's a common denominator and that, yo, the abbot, he's always been pure. He's always came through on his word.
Right.
And they bear witness to the vision, even though they couldn't see it clearly.
Right.
You know
by
I mean?
Him.
They believed.
Yeah, they believed.
They believed. Assembling all 9, was there anyone early who kind of really stood out to you or that they kind of took that first jump?
You know who was a special Wu member? I mean, all special, but the first brother to sign on that dotted line is Method Man.
I'm just about to say that, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His loyalty is unquestionable.
Shout out Meth.
Yeah, shout out to Meth.
Shout out Dave East for killing it.
Yeah. Dave East is slaying
it. He killing it.
I mean, Shifka, if you would have seen Dave East yesterday on the footage we shot, he had the whole motor, like, I don't know if you've seen that video, Triumph with Meth on the motor. So Dave is on the motorcycle with the stripe and the helmet. And I'm telling you, even for me, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
That look, him and his manager, they was like, yo. I was like, yo, it's like he's embodying the spirit of it, yo.
Yeah. How important, I mean, since we're kind of over there, how important for it was you, because obviously this is a personal project, to find people that really fit who your group was.
Right.
You did a great job at that.
And not easy, yo. You know, but we combed through a lot of talent. You know, some talent was already on their way to success, like Shameek Moore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think one of the best young actors in the game. He's going to continue to grow.
He's a beast. That's who we went to dinner with, right?
Yeah. Smart young man.
Mm-hmm.
The brother that's playing Jizza was a discovery out of Staten Island, and his career is taking off from that. And he definitely had that spirit. The brother playing Ghost, you know, he's a trained actor.
Hey, he's killing it,
son. Ooh. And he's so trained at it, though. Right.
Dennis. Dennis.
Yeah. And then the dude playing my brother Devine, once again, Juilliard.
Yeah, he killed
him. So he's
too.
From Yale. Yo, he's like Very a dumb. Yale graduate or something like that, right? And we found them on Broadway. Mm. But Ashton Sanders playing me. A lot of people was, you know, like why choose Ashton. And I say Ashton, he has these eyes of an artist that no matter what, he's dedicated to being an artist.
Yeah.
And I think when I interviewed him, and I heard his story. He was like, yo, while people was, he's from LA. He's not from New York.
Mm,
while people
that.
Was running around doing whatever they was doing, he's the dude that was up in the art school, up in the art classes and looking for something else to express itself versus mm-hmm. getting caught up mm-hmm. in what the neighborhood was offering. And I just saw his eyes. I was like, yo, you might not have been locked up or shots bust at you, you know what I mean? Right. But those eyes are the eyes that I had, you know what I mean? Knowing that, yo, my art is pure and it's going to be my savior beyond everything else I was trying. And he's doing a great job as well.
Love that. Okay, I kind of figured this out from the movie, but for people that don't know, how did you come up with the name Wu-Tang?
Oh, wow, how we do that? I mean, if you don't know that, nah.
Right.
But, nah, but yo, we watch a lot of Kung Fu movies, you know what I mean? There was a movie called Shaolin versus Wu-Tang. Mm-hmm. Wu-Tang represent the sword technique. Mm-hmm. And we said our tongue is our sword, you know what I mean? And with that, we're going to chop heads off. So it was like Wu-Tang Clan. First, it was Wu-Tang Production. Right? First, I was like, Wu-Tang Production. That's going to be the name of my company. You know what I mean? Then Wu-Tang Records, the name of my label. And then now we're going to be the Wu-Tang Clan. Right. I mean, then Wu-Tang Management. So mm-hmm. we just kept going. But it was something about the spirituality of what that represented it and something about the strength of what it represented in Asian culture. I felt that I could translate that into Western culture.
Mm-hmm. And you did. First single, Protect Your Neck. Yeah. Crazy.
Says it all too, right?
The experience making that.
I mean, yo, once again, it was never a symphony with that many MCs all in one group mm-hmm. and all giving you bars. It wasn't like somebody didn't give you bars, you know what I mean? And Protect Your Neck was our scream out or cry out to the industry, like, yo, protect your neck, because we coming for your head. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And at one point, you know what I mean, you couldn't even be in a club without Wu-Tang tearing it down, because it was definitely a lot of testosterone and aggressive energy, yo.
36 Chambers was the debut album, ranked number one on the charts. One of the greatest albums of hip-hop all time. Going back and look at that album, did you know it was going to be this big?
You know, say hindsight is 2020. But foresight is too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And you believed in yourself, of course.
Yeah, I foresaw it being great, yo. Mm. I don't like to sound like as a grown man, as a father and all that. I try not to be egotistical about nothing I say or do. But at that point in life, I was super egotistical. And I knew that the Wu was coming through mm-hmm. and was going to break down and change the game. And I didn't have an inch of doubt. And whoever doubted it, I was like, you stupid.
You don't see.
You don't see it.
You don't mm-hmm. see.
And I told the executives that to their face. Because they was like, nah.
After the first album and everybody having success of the first album, guys started to get solo deals. Going through that time, like, what were you thinking? Like, I know you was all for it. Because you wanted everybody to do their own thing and stand on their own. But you also wanted everybody to stay as a family while doing that.
Right.
What was the toughest part of during that time? Were you trying to keep everybody together, but the solo deals are coming around?
I mean, the toughest thing you're going to face is before it's money, because money sometimes don't become a problem when you grow from the same, cut from the same cloth.
Right.
But what happened is, as you grow, you also attracting other people. I think the biggest thing is other people coming around the crew mm-hmm. and having their advice or their words put into you. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, a lot of influences in life come from outside. And eventually, you know, I always give a story of my man who grew up with me, one of my best buddies, still one of my best buddies. But he, you know, we grew up, we used to sell weed together and all that, mm-hmm. right? But he joined the New York City Police Department, you know what I mean? And as years went on, he became more of a cop. You know, and that's what he's supposed to do. And I was worried about our relationship. And I remember talking to my lawyer. I said, yeah, my buddy seems like I brought him to my house. I showed him my gun, and he was looking at it like it was a collar. You know what I mean? And I said, you know, like, why is that? He's like, nah. I said, he's spending more time every day with police officers.
As a cop, yeah.
So that's what his mind becomes. So when you look at our crew as we growing and we become successful and we're spending time apart and other people are taking that space, they start whispering, you know what I mean? Proverbs say something about the be wary of the whispering man. Like, you know what I mean? Because they whisper things into it. Yeah, and that became a problem, yo. It's still a problem.
Yeah.
You know, I think people face that problem in their lives. People face it in social media. You look on there and you start reading comments. You start taking a comment literal. Yeah. It started affecting what you're going to do next because what somebody said yesterday. You know what I mean? So I think that was one of the biggest issues.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
game, bro.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The Asian culture had a huge influence along with the martial arts with you. When did you decide that you could, like you said earlier, you feel like you can merge that into the Western culture? Like, when did you kind of feel like, okay, I really feel like I could take this and flip this into our vision?
I mean, we all grew up watching Saturday afternoon Kung Fu Theater. You know what I mean? I remember being a kid, and when Kung Fu movies came on, the whole neighborhood was empty for like 2 hours because everybody went up to watch the Kung Fu flick. Came back out,
started practicing,
started throwing punches and kicks. That's why me and DJ Scratch did an album called Saturday Afternoon Kung Fu Theater, because it happened in his neighborhood too. Mm. It happened in Kendrick Lamar was like, yo, that's how it was with his pops and things like that.
Kung Fu Kenny.
Right? So knowing that that's part of our culture, you know, I just knew that it was going to resonate, yo. You know, the goodness of anything always worked. You know, our show is called Wu-Tang, an American Saga.
An American Saga.
You know what I mean? Because in America, you're going to get all these chambers. You're going to, look, right now, we lower East New York City, everybody. But you go a few blocks that way, Chinatown's right there, baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And trust me, some of that is spilling over.
That's
right,
like my homeboy just told me. This is Chinatown is starting to come this
yeah,
way.
Yeah, spill right over, baby.
Right,
yeah.
Right. The 25-year anniversary of your second album, Wu-Tang Forever, is going to be celebrated soon. What do you remember most about that album?
Wow, that was one of, Wu-Tang Forever was an important album for us, our biggest selling album. It was done during tough times, though. You know, we lost a couple of hip-hop icons. We had lost Pac in 96. Mm-hmm. We lost Biggie the same year while we was making that album. We, you know, seen him, like, moments, not moments, but days before this happened and all that. And it's like, I think we was like, it's important for us to make sure what we do remains forever. Timeless. It's important for us to capture our spirits at this youthful age and leave it on this vinyl and this wax. And it was important for us, and I think we lived it out. You know, 97 is a year in mathematics. It means born God, right? Because 9 is born, 7 is God. And if you add 9 and 7 together, it's going to come to 16, going to still give you a 7.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you got to let God be born through you. You know what I mean? We was talking like that. We got to let God be born through us.
Deep.
You know what I mean? Let's go. Let's don't let nothing take us here. Don't worry about if they like it or don't like it. We got to let it be gone, be known. And that's why you hear so many songs and you hear, you know, all the skits. What you doing? I'm studying my lessons. Call me back.
You mean mathematics, God?
Yeah, like you hear that. You hear the lyrics. You hear fusion of the five elements, the search for a higher intelligence. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear all that stuff because it's like, yo, and you know, at that age and at that level in life, we have to capture that and record it, not for ourselves. You know what I mean? For the youth coming up, so they can have something, yo. And so it was an important album, and I'm happy that it was accepted. And it was the first time, to be honest with you, that Wu-Tang left the hood. Because when that album came out, it was the entire country responding to it. In fact, the entire world was number one in multiple countries.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, we was like, yo, a lot of white boys here.
Right.
I mean, started feeling like what's going on. But then we embraced it, like, nah, this is...
They love us.
And the truth is... It has no gender nor color.
Right.
5 + 5 = 10. That's mathematics. Right. You know, it works for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So is that kind of when you felt like that was kind of leading to my next question? Is that when you guys kind of feel like your name is ringing around the world? Do you feel like that was kind of your real footstep in, you know, into the music space as far as like we hear now for real?
Yeah, that was the completion. You know what I mean? I promised brothers, give me 5 years.
Mm.
And we're going to be number one, I said. I ain't say number two.
No, you said number one.
I said number one.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was number one.
Mm-hmm.
You made it.
How has your fan base, you just touched on a little bit, but how has your fan base changed from when you first started to obviously the longevity you guys have had? Have you seen kind of different waves? And
yeah, you know, the cool thing is that, especially based on today's outlet of music and internet and digital and all our social medias, it's like I go to a Wu-Tang concert and I see 3 generations there.
Right.
You know what I mean? I see the pops, the son, and the grandson there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's a blessing. And especially, I say it's a blessing not because of the economic and the longevity stability of it, but it's a blessing because I know that within that product is something good there, something healthy there. Like that kid, he gonna be all right because if he memorized some of this, that we had a song where he was like, casting stones, cracking the 206 bones, and watch it. Like, it's 206 bones in your body. You can take that data. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One brother said 93 million miles away from Kane, one to represent the nation. Yeah, the sun is 93 million miles away from the sun. It's like it's facts and jewels and ready to give up, but I seek my old earth. Seek your mother sometime who explain, working hard to help you maintain. Mm-hmm. It's jewels in there. It ain't just like pop that bottle, you know what I mean? Twerky twerk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get some of that, but
it's a real life game too.
Yeah, it's real life stuff in there. And I love that a young man could get that in his life. You know, some young people be depressed in their cribs, nobody to relate to, and then they hear, wait, they all in their comics and they feel like they're a weirdo. They go, wait, Method Man read comics.
Uh-huh, right.
You know what I mean? They playing chess, feeling like a square. Wait, the Jizzle plays chess.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, ODB. You know what I mean? He crazy. Look all the things he was into.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that helps. And so that's how I feel about it.
Dope. You got a chance to work with Big Fella, our big brother Shaq in 94, helped produce a few tracks on Shaq Fu. What was that like?
Come on, Shaq is a superhero, man. He's a super, he's always been a superhero.
Right. He just texted me.
Yo, he's always been a superhero, just yo.
2 minutes ago.
Yeah, man. He picked me up in that video. Like,
right. But how was it getting a chance to work with him in a different space?
No, it was incredible, yo. We had a good time. We remained friends from that moment. You know what I mean? Every time we see each other, we just smile. You know, and look, he took it serious. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Let's talk about that for a quick second. You know what I mean? And I just want to compliment you too. You know what I mean? Because you mastered your craft. So as a master of your craft, you're able to join other things and master mm-hmm. and get into it. You're not, you know, you guys ain't on TV shooting at a hoop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're on TV hosting, talking to luminaries, building your minds, giving, adding on to culture because you are culture. And so Shaq was that early.
Right.
He was able to, come to the studio, get his pen, and he wrote his own. People was like, Shaq didn't write that. No, Shaq wrote that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He caught, he had some lines in there. I was like, he had a couple of lines in there, You know what I mean? So that's it was a beautiful thing to see that. And like I said, I think sometimes we don't, I'm just speaking on the outside now, we as different fields of artistry don't recognize the common denominator between our other luminaries. And with Shaq, he was one of the first ones to let me realize that on the court, he's a big, strong dude, but in reality, he's a fun, loving
kid, a big kid.
Yeah, man. And you don't think
you
that
would never know.
At a giant.
Breaking backboards and fucking people up, you would never know.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool, yeah.
And so it was a blessing to see that, and a blessing to see. Right now, he's like a comedian. He could have been a comedian. Yes. As funny as Shaq is now,
Single commercial, every single endorsement. Shaq is just someone who's got to protect Shaq at all costs.
The big promoter.
When you guys first started traveling the world as a group, what was that experience like for you guys to kind of get outside of New York for the first time and really start seeing the world through what you love doing, which is music?
That was crazy. You traveling the world. First of all, I'm traveling the world when I chose not to eat meat. All right, that was a bad decision, all right?
Yeah, I tried it too.
I had a lot of cheese sandwiches, bro. Right? It was a bad decision, yo. But it was cultural differences. But the young people always got, find a way, right? So you're going to have fun. You're going to have good times. But the cultural differences, I think, in the beginning was worrisome. Like we couldn't wait to get home. Mm. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Couldn't wait to get home. But as time went on, maybe like let's say by the time you get to the year 2000, 2001, and there's a shift in culture happening, you go back and there's a veggie burger at McDonald's now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the people have got more hip hop into their system, it started to become a big joy, you know? So in the beginning, it was tough. Germany was tough. Sweden was tough. Switzerland was tough. Norway and Copenhagen, all those places was tough, you know what I mean? But now it's like a joy.
Right.
I love Berlin, yo.
That's your culture, man. Yeah.
Love Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Copenhagen, nice city.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. That's dope. Go spend some time there.
You got a chance to work with Kanye on Dark Twisted Fantasies. Thoughts on him as an artist and a producer and just kind of what he's given to this space as well?
I mean, Kanye, is a man who definitely moved our culture, took hip-hop culture from one degree and multiplied it into, fashion, art, a pure artist in all reality. So him being a pure artist, he plays in different fields, but he still plays at the highest level of art. And so he's successful in those fields, and he brings awareness to fields that we wasn't paying attention to. I spent some time, and I consider him a brother. You know what I mean? And very, very, what's the word? I'm gonna use the word. I'm his big brother, so I can say very proud.
Yeah.
Of what he do and what he become. You know what I mean? You know, let me say something that the Abbot Wizard would say. You know, Allah works, and they say Allah works in mysterious ways, right?
Best of all planners.
The master planner. And it's mysterious because you just couldn't figure out the equation. But check out this equation. 50 Cent gets a flaw in his jaw from a shot, and Kanye gets a flaw in his jaw. But that flaw gives them the ability to change the world. Mm-hmm. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So that's from a flaw. Hip hop was a DJ. The story is he held the record when his mother came in the room. And wait a minute. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the break beats we sampled talk to some of the producers who made this. It's like, oh, that was the break because somebody in the band
happens,
took a
right?
break. Yeah. Like, he got tired, and therefore you heard that. It's like the floor, and that's the mercy of it. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to say that when I see Ye, and I see what he's achieved, and I see that it took off after a very life-threatening situation.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I could go back to myself. For me, it was jail.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, they wanted to put me in there. That was gonna be my life. And I was like, nah, that's mm-hmm. not gonna be my life. And I turned, but I had to turn a different direction. So proud of what he's doing, proud of what he stands for in all reality. You know what I mean? And the controversy we sometimes get with him is only fuel, I think, for a mind like that.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, it's fuel
continue
for him.
To be great, yeah. You produced New Day on Watch the Throne, one of my favorite albums. Got a chance to collab with Jay. What was that experience like for you?
Jay, what was it say about Jay? Like, I met Jay, we was kids when we met.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just like, you know?
That's crazy.
I told Jay this. I said, you kind of inspired me one day. He had did a remix. This is like 91, maybe. Like, I'm still Prince Joaquin. And not, you know, still hustling, not knowing, you know, hustling. So kind of in the middle of going serious or whatever. And he did a remix with Glenn Jones or something like that, right? And we ran into him and he was like, yo, I see y'all like that remix. Said, yeah, yo. So it wasn't hip hop, but it was, he said, yeah, they, you know, and they paid him 10 racks for it. I was like, you got 10 G's for that? I was like, what? He's like, yo, yeah. I was like, man, let me go back and make, let me get back in this, back in the lab. Because 10, that's a half a brick back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, back then.
And so I told him, I said, you inspired me because they gave me 10 G's for my whole deal.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You got 10 G's for the remix.
One song, right.
Let me go back and recalibrate this. You know what I mean? So that's one other thing about our business and about our culture. If we could share our knowledge, share our experiences.
Which we don't.
Nah, we don't.
Gee. Not enough.
Keep it to the hip.
Not enough.
Look, and I respect, you know, Snoop had the album, The Game is to Be Sold, Not Told.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to tell somebody.
Come on, man.
Okay,
yeah.
So tell your peers, tell your culture. You know what I mean? This world is big enough, you know, even as Americans. You got 350 million Americans, all right? That means you got 7.5 billion not Americans,
mm-hmm.
all right? It's enough mm-hmm. to keep our culture and keep right. our thing tight
right.
because the world becomes our consumer, not each other.
Right. So we're not against each other. You're right.
Any truth to you cleaning out your beat machine and instrumentals and giving away to the likes of Nas, Busta, Ye, Talib Kweli?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Talk to us about that.
I mean, you know, just sometimes, you know, you just sitting on the abundance, right? You gotta let it go, you know? So Bus actually played me a couple of joints he did that sound crazy. I don't know what he gonna do with it, but he played two joints that he took from the Yellow Machine that mm-hmm. sounds crazy. And for, I mean, Nas put out that mixtape he did last summer. A couple of those was from mm-hmm. that, you know what okay. I mean? So brothers got it. It's like, to me, it's like whenever you're ready, eat, play.
Dope.
Play with it, yo. Have fun. Let's talk about, I want to talk about fatherhood a little bit.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Come on,
yeah.
Man. Of course. We all yeah. fathers.
Jack got 18 kids, so let's
you got
do
18
it.
Kids?
No, I got 7 kids.
Oh.
Not 18.
That was close.
A big difference. Yeah.
I was close.
You know who got 18 children? Papa Wu. Papa Wu had 18 children. They say Old Dirty had 13.
Ooh.
Haven't met all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I got 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I like talking about fatherhood.
Lucky numbers.
Beautiful.
7.
Numbers.
7.
See, it's how we do it.
I'm doing a lot.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm
sir.
Doing a lot. Exactly.
I got 6.
You got one more to
one
go.
One more.
Yeah. You got one more to go.
Now, like, nah, I don't know, bro.
You know, Nas is gonna watch this episode too, because you're all
yep.
baby, don't listen to that shit.
But you know what? That's funny, yo. You know, now, know what's so crazy, though? Think about a generation before us when fathers could have had 100 and didn't care about one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we, you know, I'm a, you know, we products of that in all reality, you know, fathers, you know, that, you know, just with a generation of fathers not knowing how to love. And I'm proud that we do have a generation of fathers that do know how to love. Mm-hmm. That's not shy
right.
to say I love you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I will say, you know, as a father and as a full-blown man, that you need the mother and the father in the household.
No question.
And a lot of, you know, my father said one day to me, he was like, rappers don't got no fathers. And what he meant was that most of us, if we got a father, we didn't even talk about him because of the absentee or, and it's, you know, and the same thing with a lot of ball players. You hear, yo, my mother. I'm glad that we have a generation that the fathers are present, but I will say for the fathers who have children and it's and you doing the co-parenting, put your time in. You know what I mean? I've seen the difference from the child that I had more time to give versus the ones I didn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a security. It's a security a child feels when it sees both parents there and it has both yin and yang to let it understand both sides of that coin.
Right.
When we sitting there, you know, and you had these baby mothers and she got to figure things out by herself, even though you may be mailing her a check, it's beyond a check.
It's beyond a check,
yo. It's a presence. It's a comforting feeling. Mm-hmm. I know it because I see my youngest son, he had the blessings of growing his whole life with his mother and father. Mm-hmm. And he's so balanced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's so balanced.
My youngest daughter, the same way.
Yeah. So I just want to say it's important. I hope that, you know, the twerk generation, you know, we got lyrics saying, yo, do me and my man. You know what I mean? I mean, it's, you know, you're young, you're going to have fun. Mm-hmm. But I hope they realize that, yo, when you start having these children and having these babies, yo, that it takes man and woman mm-hmm. to raise that child.
Yep. And you don't necessarily, not to cut you off, but you don't necessarily have to be together. Like you said, the co-parenting is the new norm. And it takes a lot of work. And I think at times we forget, because sometimes we may be beefing with our co-parent, that there's a beautiful creation or two in my, you know, instance. You know what I mean? So to be able to, when I saw it, with my kids, you know, because my ex-wife and I's divorce was very public and got nasty at some points, and you can see that affect the boys. And then now we're on a better accord, and they have two safe houses and four parents now
right.
that love and care for them. You see them starting to obviously, right. you know, come from that. So it's not always having them in the same home, but it's being having them on the same page.
I agree 200%.
And that's what I was kind of saying when I said my youngest, because me and her mom not together, but I wasn't together with my other kids' moms, but my youngest daughter mom let me be in my daughter's life. Mm. Like, she lives with me most of the time.
Right.
But I didn't get that from my other kids because of different circumstances. But the relationship with her and everything she has, she's solid, right? She has the love for me. She know we both present. She know we there. Right. She can call me. Like yesterday, we was shooting. She calling me.
Cash app.
You know what I mean? But she know I'm here.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I know that means a lot, because my dad, rest in peace, he lived 5 minutes from us, right? And we barely see him. But I didn't hold that against him. You know what I'm saying? Because me having kids by different women, I understand how it could be harder than how it looks. You know what I mean? So I still gave him that same love. But it just, like you said, just being there makes a world of difference. Because my grandfather had 9 kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's where you got it from?
That's what I guess. You know what I mean? So
that's where you got it from.
So it's not normal now. But before we was born and we was kids, it was normal.
Oh, motherfuckers had all other families.
Yeah, 15 kids. Yeah.
I'm from 11. My mom's had 11.
You know what I'm
saying? But you're right, yo. It does, if you know, if the relationship is not pure between the mother and the father, don't let that relationship
right.
affect the child. The child has no clue
about right. the emotion, nothing to do with problem.
It. You know, the sun, moon, and stars, as the Holy Quran says, we give you signs. The sun shines at day, the moon shines at night, but yep. they both guaranteed to be there.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
We just kind of trust on it, but your thoughts on hip-hop, the state of hip-hop today?
I mean, I love hip-hop, man. Hip-hop is feeding so many families.
Way more.
It's I don't know if you up into the Afro beat of it all, like, you know, Beyond Burna Boy and the brothers out of South Africa, Ghana. Hip-hop has started here.
Worldwide
in New York
now.
City, yo, mm-hmm. where maybe 500 people knew what it was. You know what I mean? The first generation didn't even get a chance to you know, to buy a house off it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's spread around the world to so many families are being blessed off it. So the state of hip-hop, I'm grateful for it. The content of it, yeah, we need more substance, you know what I mean? But, and the substance come. You know, you listen to Kendrick's new album, and he... You know, he's speaking as a man now.
Mm-hmm.
His album 5 years ago, he was still
mm-hmm.
growing from I won't use the word boy, but still mm-hmm. growing from young adult to adult.
Yeah.
And so if you give the artist a chance to get there, I think they'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Lil Yachty was first out, and, you know, I'm a lyricist, so I was like, there was no lyrics in there. You know what I mean? But then as his music went on, you start throwing some darts in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I just said, you know what? Just give them time, yo. Give the artist time to evolve, but also push them to evolve.
Right, right. All right?
Don't some men stayed in that cave.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Kept eating the meat raw. But those who took fire, they just so push them to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm grateful for hip hop. I'm grateful for so many ways that is integrated into our culture. This is hip hop right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what we're doing right here is hip hop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So bunk bunk.
Any young producers out there that remind you of the young hungry RZA?
Nah.
Nah, not there.
They had those same circumstances with just 2 seconds on a sampler, try to figure it out. They could sample for 2 days and go to sleep now. Mm, you know what I mean? But anyway. But a lot of great talent, you know what I mean?
Love that.
And rest in peace, you know, I don't know if you're going to print this, but, you know, Metro Boomin just lost
his mom.
Man. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
I know you're a big movie fan. How do you look at movies now because you're so entrenched? I know you were telling me a story about, why am I forgetting his name now? Kind of your mentor in the movie space.
Quentin Tarantino.
Talk to us how that relationship developed and just kind of how that changed your perspective of the art.
I was fortunate to learn filmmaking from Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
Who actually didn't go to school for it himself, but is considered one of the greatest directors of our time.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. And what I noticed from him is that he watched the films with a certain eyesight. He actually watched the films the way I listen to music.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And there's certain parts that hits you a certain way. And when I noticed that about him, I saw this common denominator. And so I asked him, could he help teach me how to become a film director? And he did. And I am. The thing is, if I could summarize that for anybody, here goes some game for you. I think every film ever made has something to offer. And if you are an artist looking for to be in the filmmaking world, you should be able to detect that. All right? And I'm going to give you two examples. Of course, if you watch Star Wars and it's a galaxy far, far, far away, and you see them with lightsabers, but they're still dressed as if it was 1500 feudal Japan. And instead of the sword being a sword, it's a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go, okay, that movie teaches you that time and story could be placed anywhere. But then there's a movie called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, okay? This film is just a stop motion movie where tomatoes are moving and the guy must have kept taking the tomatoes and moving them. Listen, the toughest film you may ever watch in your life. But what I learned from that film is that somebody still gave him a budget. Mm. You know what I mean?
Tell your story.
And so no idea can be brought to fruition. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Keep going.
Over decades, you worked through different lanes, through song, video, film, more recently. Talk to us about how many different ways and how much you enjoy just the storytelling, because you tell it from all different components.
Yeah, I think it's a blessing, Matt, to be able to tell stories, and I think we all should. I advise everybody, ex-wife, say, write your book, baby. Write your book, write it, because somebody else may learn from that experience. So to me, it's important, you know? And whether it's fiction, whether it's biographical,
mm-hmm.
whether it's taking something I read from the prophet Job and being able to translate it to somebody else so they could learn patience. Storytelling is one of the, probably one of our oldest forms of entertainment before the written word. And I'm blessed to be able to play with it as the written word, as the spoken word. And now I get to get budgets.
On the big screen.
Yeah. Blow up some helicopters.
Yeah. Several cameos and shows and movies in particular, but I wanted to know what was it like working with Denzel and Russell Crowe in American Gangster?
That was super cool. Working with Denzel. First of all, Denzel, if anybody could intimidate you as an actor, it's Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it was a microphone or some hip hop, whatever.
Right.
I mean, whatever, D. I would have mm-hmm. bust him to the side. As a young man trying to be an actor against one of the greatest living actors in the world, I never felt, I thought he didn't like me. You know what I mean? I thought like, can I do my Denzel story? You edit it anyway.
Come on, no.
Nah, you good.
All right, so yo, first they like, you know, first we on set 3 weeks before him because they shot the movie that way, right? And so I'm cool with everybody. Now Denzel comes to set and somebody come up, hit on my trailer. Hey, you want to meet Denzel? I say, yeah, yo, hell yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I'm a big fan of Denzel. So they take me over to his trailer and they knock and he don't open the door. Knock again, he don't open the door. They go, oh, okay, we'll bring you back. So they take me back to my trailer. 30 minutes later, same thing. And now it's the end of my day. I'm about to leave. I got my car waiting. And I'm like, let me just say peace to him before I go. And it don't happen.
Doesn't answer.
Right? Finally, there's a scene in the movie that wasn't written with my character and his character. There was no interaction of my character and his character written in the movie. You know, right? But Russell had insisted that this is the scene where we interrogate him. This is the crew that brought him down. The police would all be there on his ass because this is the team that did it. And he want the whole team there.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't written. And so Denzel comes to the set and he kind of sees it. And it's like, it wasn't what it was written. So he walks away, right? And so I'm like, I'm so self-conscious. Everything that's going wrong, I'm blaming myself, right? Because I'm like, I think at that time, Sam Jackson had an article out with how his rappers doing roles, right? And like, so I'm like, right, nobody wants me here. So then we do the scene, and he doesn't really smile, and, you know, doesn't even like, you know, really kind of like didn't acknowledge me. And I was just like, you know, finished the scene, I just went back to my trailer. I was like, oh man, it's crazy, right? And then there was the premiere, and I'm on the line walking, got my wife, and somebody comes from behind and give me the biggest hug, and it's Denzel. And so I had a chance to say, yo, why you ain't smile at me or that? I said, yo, you a cop. I was Frank Lucas.
Motherfucker was in character the whole movie.
I was Frank Lucas. I ain't give 2 cents about you. Mm. I was like, that's a master.
That's a master.
Yeah, all right? Yeah. And I took that wisdom.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a dope story.
I love that. Talk to us about your five-year Wu plan in the past, and then what's your five-year plan now?
Yeah, so 5 year plan, the first one worked, and on the second plan, it started close to 5 years ago, and you know, I gathered the brothers together. We do these Wu Wednesday calls, and I was like, listen, this is the play here.
Real quick, I don't mean once a week, once a month.
The calls were once a week. Now they're biweekly until a project goes. So they're weekly calls.
Okay.
And currently they're biweekly.
Okay.
And so the plan was documentary first, TV series second, and then top that off with a tour. Documentary aired right here on Showtime, Mike's and
Showtime
Men.
Showtime Docs, yeah.
TV series aired on Hulu, Bong Bong.
Aired on Hulu.
And we just announced a few weeks ago one of the biggest tours of the summer, Wu-Tang and Nas.
Me and the Nas need to be right up there with Talani when you guys come to the bowl.
She got a booth.
I got to be there. Come out to L.A., yeah. My homeboy's like, yo, you know, yes, man, I heard. We in there.
Yeah, I got to make a confession. I always wanted to play the Hollywood Bowl.
Really?
Never played it, yo. So this is going to be something special. But once again, that's the plan. That's taking the steps. You know, because at one point, yo, people was making hip-hop documentaries and it was just producers making it or talent making it but didn't live it. And I just said, nobody going to really be able to understand our story. We got to tell our own story.
Right.
You know, Mass Appeal with Sasha Jenkins, the director of the documentary, he also came to me with a very compelling, because I had all these different people like pitching to do it. And Sasha was like, yo, listen, you could get them to do it, but I live hip hop too.
Right.
So let me, I told my wife, I said, Sasha says, she said, he's right. Let somebody who lived the culture tell the story of the culture. And that's, you know, we got nominated for the Emmy. Mm-hmm. His work showed and proved itself.
It's beautiful. But like you said, it's hip hop. We're all telling, that's what we're doing. We're all telling our own stories, creating our own narratives, giving other people a platform to tell their stories, because they've always told our stories, and although some have done it well, like you said, none of them have really lived it. So who better to tell the stories than the people who actually lived it? So I'm glad we're at that place. Coming down to the stretch, before we get to these quick hitters, one piece of advice you would give your younger self?
Just don't never doubt yourself. Plain and simple.
All right, quick hitters. First thing to come to mind, let us know. Stuck on an Island, 3 albums you bring with you.
You bring Stevie Wonder, any one of those, you ain't gonna lose, all right? Now, I'm on an island, you said, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if you'd asked me this a while ago, I would have said Frank Sinatra, but I'm gonna go Nat King Cole because I've been listening to his music, yo. And trust me, Nat King Cole with Tequila Pineapple.
Yeah, it's on what?
Life is good. And I gotta bring some for my crew. It had to be a tough one, but just for the nostalgia of who we are, I'll probably bring, I'll bring 36 Chambers.
I was about to say, gotta bring no choice. Creating a music festival, right? Wu-Tang headlining. What 3 opening acts you bringing? Past or present? Past or present?
Present. Let's get Kendrick Lamar
in
the building with the Wu-Tang. Let's get the Kung Fu Kenny with the Wu-Tang Clan.
We should expect to see that at Hollywood Bowl. I don't know if that's up your sleeve, but we should expect to see that in L.A.
And let me see. And let me pull somebody from the past. What would make sense from the past? You know what? I'm gonna keep it hip hop. And I don't know, I'm gonna just go to the first concert pioneers of hip hop, in my opinion, Run DMC.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know who I was thinking?
Go ahead.
I don't know if you, Dos Effects.
Dos Effects? Well, I rocked with them a few times.
Yeah, so I know.
They want effects.
Yeah.
That's your joint right there.
Bump, stickily bump, stickily bump. Yeah, that was my joint. First thing you do when you wake up, last thing you do before you go to sleep.
Wow. I mean, no, honestly, the first thing I do is I pray. You know what I mean?
Of course. And that's the last thing you do.
So, yeah, it should be the last thing you do, but, you know, I'm in bed every night with my wife, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly. So I keep that personal.
Yes, exactly. Five films of all time.
In your opinion, top five films on your list.
I'm just going to go film. I ain't going to even go. I'm going to say Godfather. You got to have Godfather on your list. You got to have 36 Chambers on your list. In all reality, you got to have... you got to have Malcolm X on your list. In all reality, you got to have Star Wars on your list.
Yep.
And did I say 36 Chambers already?
Of course.
Okay. And you got, let me give you one that you might not recognize, but I think a film you got to see in life. I'm going to give you Carmen. With Dorothy Dinklage, yeah.
Carmen.
Yeah, check that out if you haven't seen that, man.
I want to tell you, Iron Fist was good. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. Iron Fist was real
good,
man. Great job on that with Russ Crowe. But I was about to ask you about another movie. It'll come back to me.
If you could put one message on a billboard for the world to see, what would it be?
I mean, it'd be one word. It'd be peace, you know what I mean?
Man, that's we simple. Need it. It ain't rocket science.
Yeah, it'd be one word.
Need it.
If they say I can do what I want, I'll put the 12 jewels on the billboard. Mm-hmm. The 12 jewels are knowledge, wisdom, understanding,
mm-hmm.
freedom, justice, equality, food, clothing, shelter, love, peace, and happiness.
Happiness, yeah. Oh, that's something. How did you like Jackie Chan's Drunken Master?
That was it.
Man, that was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, that director, too, was
he
one of my favorite.
It.
Yeah.
He killed
So you got your Kung Fu library tight?
Yeah. Oh, nah, yeah.
Let me see. What's the new one? You seen, there's a new one right now with Donnie Yen and Nicholas C. Hold on, let me get the Raging Fire.
I haven't seen it. I gotta see it.
Check that out, yo. Yeah. They breaking backs in that.
I've been running Ung Bak back.
Oh.
All four of them.
Yo, Tony Jaa might be coming to America next month.
Hey, he is a problem.
Yeah, look at that. You know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place.
Put a knee all in your face, man. Yo, you know what Tony Jaa did? I got a shoulder injury today.
From him?
From him. He threw a move. I did a movie with him. He threw a move on me, and I didn't kind of do the whole way I supposed to be. You know, I was being a little extra like I knew what I was doing.
Fucked you
Crack.
Up.
Crack. Never Hill.
Ooh. How long ago?
Yo, that movie, it's been over 6-7 years, yo. He threw a move on me.
It fucked you up.
It works.
It works.
Yeah, it works.
I can stamp it.
Oh, man, I would love to play in a Kung Fu movie. Last question. You already told us you watched the show. If you could pick a guest to come on our show, who would it be? But you have to help us get your guest on the show, yeah. Oh, he already knew the question watching the show.
Let me see. Who, y'all, I mean, first of all, y'all been having a great group of people on this show.
Thank you.
Look, this is totally left field. It's left field, but I just think, you haven't had Obama on your show, have
mm-hmm.
you? He smokes, I heard.
I heard he does.
That would be dope.
I heard he smokes.
That would break the internet if we could roll a square.
I heard he smokes.
OB.
Let's get OB.
let's get OB here, man. Yeah. Of course. That would be awesome.
We're gonna push
that.
That
would be awesome.
That'd be incredible. Before we go, we got something
for you, bro. Can't let you leave empty-handed because we appreciate you being here. All the Smoke merch.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Where can they get it, Matt? AllTheSmoke.store.
That's where you can get
AllTheSmoke.store.
Yeah, we hooked up. We had to hook you up for pulling up.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Nice little sweatsuit from our 420 line.
Yes. So make sure that you guys check out Wu-Tang American Saga coming January of 23. We all waiting. Good luck on the tour this summer, man. I'm sure
thank
we're
going
to be able to see you and catch up. We're going to be in the building. Man. But thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, man.
Man, that's a wrap. With the RZA, you can catch us on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, Black Effects.
And that's today's mathematics.
See y'all next week.
Peace out.
You bitches.
Bong bong.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.